Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what a delight it is to be gathered once again, and we just thank you for this opportunity to quiet down a bit and just to listen for you and listen to you, and rather than talk, and did you know this, did you know that, may we just remember one of the Psalms that says, be still and know that I am God. And so, Lord, we are gathered here to bow down, gathered here to thank you, to praise you, to worship you, to pray, and to hear a little of your word. And so lead us now as we open your word and look at another chapter in the book of Proverbs. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, we're averaging about 30 a week, and this week we've got 31 verses and 31 Proverbs, and we have gotten kind of a balance this week in buts and ands. Actually, we have a few more buts again, and I kind of like the buts because it makes it really easy to make the contrast of the two different things. The ands also have some contrast in them, but oftentimes it's a building, and so it's talking about the same subject and at one level, and then it goes to another level. And those are good too, but I like, this is a beautiful, beautiful proverb. You can say that about them all, but chapter 21. So let's look at that a moment, if we may. You'll see a lot of things about death in this one. You'll see a lot of things about killing. You'll see a lot of things about the results of not doing wise things, but doing foolish things. But we start out with a great statement about the Lord's sovereignty, really. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Now, we have to remember, he has his purposes, which we don't understand too well. If I were God, I would have never left King Manasseh in charge of kingship over 50 years. He was a terrible, wicked guy. Such a wicked king, I would have taken him out in a second year and put in a better one. But God has his purposes and his reasons. And so oftentimes I think we see something that's really bad and we say, well, God's in control. Yeah, God's always in control, but he will allow us a lot. He allows us free will, doesn't he? And so if we get a free will making bad decisions, he's not necessarily, eventually he'll stop it, but he's not going to stop it maybe when we want to stop it, right? At any rate, he is in the hand of the Lord, the king's heart. Verse 2, every way. You might pay attention to the word way. We were going to have, I think, five of them in this chapter. So the way, the derrick, it can stand for a path, it can also stand for a conversation, it can also stand for a journey, but with a way, and all of us have a way, and the Lord has a way, and here is one of the ways. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Boy, what a true statement that is, isn't it? Think how many arguments we get into because we think our way is right, and the other person thinks their way is right. And there's two different ways that we're arguing about. But, here's a but, one of 10 we're going to have today, but the Lord weighs the hearts. So your direction is important, and what you do is important, but the Lord is really looking at the heart. And what are your motives? Why are you doing this? Maybe it's even more important than the direction you're going in a sense. Verse 3, to do righteousness, to do righteousness and justice. So stop right there. Are you doing that? To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Amazing, isn't it? In a way, I mean, I'm giving my all to the Lord. I'm not doing anything, but I'm giving everything I have to him. I'm sacrificing everything for him. Well, here it says, to do is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Verse 4, a haughty look, a proud heart. Now, there's two examples of pride. I think the haughty look is kind of an outward one. You can be seen what your pride is looking like by your look. The heart is a little more difficult to discern because the heart is more hidden. So you've got kind of an outward pride and an inward pride here. They're both pride. And then the plowing of the wicked are sin. And so that word plowing is kind of a difficult word in a way to me, because, but I kind of think the context there really says that a wicked person who is cultivating or plowing, or another definition of that could be lamp or light, exposing the wicked man and his exposing his wickedness or in cultivating his wickedness is sin. So, haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. Verse 5, the plans of the diligent, here we have diligent again this week, lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. So again, we have a proverb about not being too hasty in your decisions. Obviously, we need to pray them through. The Gibeonites really pulled one over on Joshua, didn't they? Because he was too hasty and he didn't seek the Lord. So we want to make sure we are diligent in our plans. That means considering it and means taking it to the Lord. But everyone who is hasty surely leads to poverty. Verse 6, getting treasure by a lying tongue is the feeding fantasy of those who seek death. So there's one of the references of death. Getting treasure by lying ends up in disaster. Verse 7, the violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. Oh my. You can think of people in your life, I would imagine, that are not walking with the Lord and their lives are a disaster. And they'll stay a disaster until they turn to the Lord, right? And that way is so simple in a way, if they would do it. They refuse to do justice. Verse 8, the way of a guilty man is perverse, twisted. But as for the pure, his work is right. Love it. Pure. Purity, important. Verse 9, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house or in a mansion shared with a contentious woman. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Well, what's a contentious woman? What is he talking about? If you don't know what a contentious woman is, blessed are you. And we are blessed, aren't we? I tell you, we are blessed. You husbands. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. So, that's a sad situation, the wicked. I mean, the wicked have no peace. They're always after evil. And they're not happy with anything, not even with a neighbor. Find no favor in his eyes. Verse 11, when the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. When the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. So the scoffer will do things where the simple can actually learn from it, I believe. But the wise is mistrusted, he receives. But when the wise is mistrusted, he receives knowledge. The righteous God wisely considers the house of the wicked, overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness. God is righteous, he is just, is he not? He's considering the house of the wicked, and it will be overthrown eventually. If who doesn't turn to him, overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness. Verse 13, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, again we have the poor brought up in today's proverb, whoever shuts his eyes to the ears of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Verse 14, a gift in secret pacifies anger, and a bribe behind the back, strong wrath. So you husbands know what pacifies anger, but bribing behind the back is not going to work. It's going to bring wrath. Verse 15, it is a joy for the just to do justice. Wow. But destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. Verse 16, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. Wow. Another reference to the ugliness of not living the right way. Verse 17, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. So the pursuit of wealth and pleasure and ease is which our country is too much on that course, isn't it? But it doesn't end well. There's no profit in that, certainly eternally. Verse 18, the wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the unfaithful for the upright. So we've got a problem here with the difference between the wicked and the righteous, and between the unfaithful and the upright. Good and bad, really. 19, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. So a while ago it was better to live in a shack, basically in a corner, than to have a contentious woman. And here it's better to not even have a house, but you're out in the wilderness, than to be with a contentious. Now they add the word angry. This is not just a contentious woman. This is a contention and angry woman. You got the best of both worlds there, right? The worst of both worlds. Verse 20, there is a desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But, contrast, a foolish man squanders it. How true that is. Don't you just love the way these proverbs zero in on it? Yeah, that's right. It is right. Verse 21, he who follows righteousness and mercy. Boy, some nice terms in this verse. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. So does that describe you? Yes, it does, I'm sure, being a child of God. Following righteousness and mercy, you find life. And that's life on this plane, and it's everlasting life as well. Righteousness and honor. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. It would seem that if you look at in history at every great dictator or powerful dictator, they had some period in their life where they thought they were in an impregnable fortress. They could never be taken. Could never be taken. But I don't care how strong it was, there's always someone, probably with the Lord's help, will figure out a way to bring it down. You know, Cyprus, for example, or not Cyprus, but up there off of the, not Cyprus, across from Cyprus, at, well, Lebanon now in that area up in there, that was impregnable, you know, because the Phoenicians had the strong navy. But then Alexander finally came and they moved them up. The Babylonians had a 13-year siege on the city, which kept being fed from the sea. But then they finally moved the sea out to an island, and then they were thought that nobody could take that. But what did Alexander do? He came and, with slave labor, built a causeway almost a mile, I think it was, out into the water, and then moved these big ram battering rams and things up and took the city. So a wise man scales the city and brings down the trusted stronghold. Verse 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue, keeps his soul from troubles. So what causes you the most regret? Having said things you shouldn't have said, or keeping quiet when you should have spoken? James says that's the one thing man can't tame, is the tongue, right? Verse 24, a proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. So, boy, we got a lot of pride wrapped up in that verse, don't we? Proud, haughty, scoffer, refusing to accept anything good or any instruction or any wisdom, just acting with arrogant pride. There's a miserable person, and it's miserable to be around that person. The desire of a lazy man kills him. Another one of the strong terms here, kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He wants everything, but he doesn't want to work at it. Verse 26, he covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. Isn't that amazing? That's what money will do to you. You get wealth, what do you want? You get stingy, you won't spend anything, and you just want more and more and more and more. But the righteous gives, and they never... That's a great idea from Malachi 3 about tithing, where God, the one time in the Bible, says, test me in this, try me in this. And if you give me of your substance, I will give you more than you could ever imagine. So that's kind of that idea here, it seems to me. The righteous gives and does not spare. Verse 27, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. Got abomination again today. We almost always have that, it seems like. Sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with wicked intent? So as bad as your action is there, even your intent is, even the Lord looks at that even more strongly, it would seem, bringing it with the wrong motive, with a wicked intent. Verse 28, a false witness shall perish, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. So the false witness will soon, his story will find him out and he'll be done. But then those who hear him will go on and on and on and on and never get to anything good that comes out of that. A wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his way. Oh my. You look at people's faces, you can really see a lot when you look at their faces, can't you? A wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes, makes firm his way. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. That's a good one. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. That is a one-of-a-kind statement, isn't it? Because what other word could you put at the end of that that would really always be true? I don't know. Verse 31, the horse is prepared for the battle, the day of battle, but deliverance is from the Lord. In that society, the horse was the tank of the day, and you would be ill-prepared if you didn't have horses and the enemy did. But really, the deliverance is not going to be from horses or rockets or technology, iron domes or whatever other dome you're going to have. The deliverance is going to be from the Lord, isn't it? Well, Father, we thank you for these Proverbs, Lord, and we could learn a lot more than just scanning over them like we did this morning, but may we take to heart, and maybe just a few of these that would really apply to us right where we are right now, and just spend that time with you and say, Lord, what does that really mean to me, and what do I need to change, Lord, and what do I need to emphasize more or do more or do less. Do less of the things that are not pleasing to you and do nothing really not pleasing to you and do more of the things that please you. Loving what you love and hating what you hate, Lord. Now we have time to pray a little bit. And so, Lord, by your Spirit, would you just lead us in these moments, and we would redeem this time, and you already know what's on our heart. You know what's even going to be said, but may it be pleasing to you, Lord, as led by your Spirit it will be. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. I wanted to come back to four verses here today with the word way in it. As I mentioned earlier, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. And verse 8, the way of a guilty man is perverse, but as for the pure, his work is right. Verse 16, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. And verse 29, a wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his way. So just want to close in this Maranatha song. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. So let's sing this together, if we may. Father, do have your own way in us, your way, and not ours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.